This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Today we'll head out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where more than 1,200 artists are competing for a new $250,000 prize. And I'll talk to a man who says that Asperger's syndrome has been a boon to his very successful career.
Take these chains from my heart.
But first up, I am extremely pleased to welcome back the writer, singer, guitarist, and friend, Roseanne Cash. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my dear.
Your new record is called The List, and the title, like so many album titles, isn't just some metaphorical notion. Tell me about The List.
Well, The List is an actual artifact. When I was 18 years old, I went out on the road with my dad, who, as you might know, was a musician. And
that would be Johnny Cash.
Yes. And we were rolling through the South on his tour bus one day, and we were talking about songs. And he mentioned a song. I said, I don't know that one. He mentioned another. I said, I don't know that one either. And he got very alarmed.
What's the matter with kids these days?
What's the matter with kids these days? The ultimate version. So he spent the rest of the afternoon making this list for me. And he was very thoughtful about what went on the list. And then at the end of the day, he wrote across the top 100 essential country songs. And I had the good sense to save this list for all these years.
So you weren't like, oh, Dad, get off my case.
You know, everybody asked me that. And I think even 2 years earlier, I might have said that. But I was learning how to write songs then and learning how to play the guitar. It was like just this whole new vista of music had opened up to me.
And you were prepared to get the commandments from Moses, I guess.
The martial arts secret, yes.
Yeah. Do you still have this actual list?
I do. I don't carry it in my purse, but I do still have it.
How many did you know?
Maybe a third of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Two-thirds knew.
Yeah, maybe 40, 60.
Really?
Well, you know, my mom listened to Patsy Cline and Marty Robbins and Ray Charles' Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music, which was a really seminal record for a lot of people, myself included. And then my dad would drag people home off the road that played music and, of course, his own music. So there were plenty of... And then early folk songs. I mean, this list really wasn't just country. My dad had this great intuitive understanding of the evolution of Southern and American music. So he included everything, early folk songs, Delta blues.
Which is so interesting about this record, and as a core sample of the list, many of them, if they were on a jukebox, wouldn't be under country.
No, right. Because my dad made the list as a songwriter, so he wasn't looking for just great records. He was thinking of great songs.
When you decided to make this record, how did you pick the 12 from the 100 that had been written down?
Well, the vetting process was kind of multi-layered because there were some songs that just didn't make sense for me to do. Nobody needs another version of This Land Is Your Land. I know why it's on the list, but there was no point. And then some songs were written so specifically for a man's voice that it was very difficult to turn them around. But John and I started talking, my husband, John Leventhal, started talking about which songs...
Who's a great musician and a producer.
Yes, and he said, you know, which songs have you been singing to yourself in the shower for 30 years? And Silver Wings, Take These Chains. Then there were some that he really pushed me toward that I was kind of intimidated to try, like She's Got You.
I've got your picture that you gave to me. It's signed with love, just like it used to be. The only thing different, the only thing new. I've got your picture, she's got you.
To what extent do you feel with this song or any of these other songs that have been famously done by many people, did you feel a need to sort of reinterpret them and do them specifically in a different way than they had been done?
Yes, except for the melody. I'm very strict about keeping what the intended melody was and what the songwriter wrote. But as far as reinterpretation, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Southern California. I've been a New Yorker for 2 decades. I've been a songwriter for 35 years. I mean, I had to bring all of that to these reinterpretations. That's one reason for doing this record, besides the pure joy of it, is that these songs shouldn't be encased in amber, you know? You shouldn't have to visit them in a museum.
That if you think you don't like this category of music,
right,
lose your categorical boundaries.
That's right. And... in the same way you couldn't imagine the Irish or the Scots without Celtic music, you can't imagine Americans without these songs. They're part of who we are as much as the Civil War is.
I was struck by the fact that of these 12 songs, seven of them were written between 1952 and 1962. Is that because your father was in his 20s and so these songs had a huge impact on him, or was that some kind of golden age?
Ooh, good question. I think it was a golden age. Hank Snow, Hank Williams. Actually, that's the first time I realized that it's a 10-year period for... How many did you say?
Seven out of the 12.
Seven out of the 12.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm going to have to rethink the whole project.
Uh-oh.
I have to rethink volume two anyway.
Yeah, no, I apologize for my little OCD, Rain Man.
No, I love that about you.
and although it is roots music, you know, Sea of Heartbreak is written by a guy from Brooklyn with
That's a kid, right.
Who went to Dartmouth.
That's right. It's co-written by Hal David and Paul Hampton, who were in New York.
I really enjoyed your version of I'm Moving On. Tell me why you chose that for this record.
It's a great song.
That big eight-wheeler rolling down the track means your true-loving daddy ain't coming back, 'cause I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on.
There's a lot of songs on the record that have to do with transportation or with movement or geography.
The pre-virtual world.
Yeah. Oh, I have to remember that. And also, Hank Snow's version was so different. It was completely unsexy and kind of, you know.
No, this is really torchy.
Yeah. We had to. I mean, you can't have a woman singing about a big 18-wheeler unless you make it ironic and sexy.
That big 18-wheeler rolling down the track means your true loving mama ain't a-coming back, 'cause I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You were flying too high for my little sky, so I'm moving on.
It was about the songwriter, number one. And I was hungry for it. I mean, I think you can learn anything if you're hungry enough. And I was almost desperate to know this canon. It, not only because I was just learning guitar and I was learning the Carter family lexicon. Helen Carter taught me how to play guitar and taught me all of these songs on the road. Then my dad gave me this list and it felt like DNA. It felt like home to me, as much as the Beatles had felt like home 5 years earlier. I wanted to write songs that were that good. I'll never write any songs like that, but I wanted to be good.
This list was composed in 1973. Did you ever think about asking your father to update it?
It's one of the great regrets of my life, Kurt, really, that I didn't say before he died what's on the list from 73 to 2003. But do you know, truthfully, I'd forgotten I had the list.
Because there's some Van Halen songs that I'm sure he would have put on it.
Right.
But you never did that.
No. I had forgotten I had the list until 2005.
Do you have any particular memories of your father singing any of these songs?
Oh, plenty.
That's overlaid?
He had all of them at his fingertips. He could sing all of these songs. He had thousands of songs in his body. He could summon at a second's notice.
Really?
Yeah. You know, now my daughter just finished making her first record, so I find myself to be the middle of a story. And I love that.
So you can give her a list.
I'm going to give her a list.
Yeah?
There'll be some overlap with this list, probably.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite song of these 12? Proudest of?
I guess Long Black Veil, just because of the family connection and because I don't think my dad could have ever imagined that I would record Long Black Veil.
Which your father famously recorded at Folsom Prison.
Right.
10 years ago, on a cold, dark night.
It was just so out of the realm of what I did and who I was. You know, I don't think he could have thought of that. And, you know, giant chip on my shoulder, songwriter, I'm doing this my way. That's yours. It's great, but I'm going to go here. And now for all of this to kind of come together, it's great. It's a great feeling.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me.
And now here is the other Cash version.
Ten years ago, on a cold, dark night, there was someone killed 'neath the town hall light. There were few at the scene, but they all did agree that the slayer who ran looked a lot like me. The judge said, "Son, what is your alibi? If you were somewhere else, then you won't have to die."
I mean, all I could think of was how happy he would be I was recording that song. That would have made him extremely happy.
And you were never tempted to do the Natalie Cole, Nat King Cole
video
duet thing?
If I do, shoot me and come back and make sure I'm dead.
I'll remember that. Roseanne Cash, thanks very much.
Thank you, Kurt.
Roseanne Cash's new album is called The List, and it's out October 6th. But right now, you can hear a full track from the record at studio360.org. Coming up, seven men caught in an immigration raid act out their experiences on stage.
They made us remove our pants and shirts.
They took all of our clothes.
They chained our ankles,
our waists,
and our hands.
I'm Kurt Anderson. That and much more coming up this hour in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC. Stay with us.